Tonight we have done what so many Christians have done from the earliest days of the church, what our Jewish brothers and sisters have often done, to read the law and the prophets and tell the stories, to tell the story of our salvation. This is how the early Christians would spend this night of Easter, telling the story. We read from the beginning, the very beginning, and we read of God's power. If there is a theme that runs through this entire night, it is that God is powerful. God is able to say to nothing, to emptiness, to darkness and chaos, let there be light, let there be the earth, let there be the sky, and there is. God's word is powerful. We see that God is able to take the Red Sea and split it in two to save his people through water. We read in the prophets the power of God to draw the human heart to himself. In the prophet Isaiah, he tells us, "Are you thirsty? All you who are thirsty, come to me. I will refresh you." And he says that my word that I give you will not return to me void. It will be powerful. It will do the work that I sent it for. I love that we have this power then in our church. We've read some of the powerful ways that God has worked in history tonight. But more important than God's power in the past, stories we read about like Abraham and Noah, Moses, these can become names that are just written in our books in the Bible, and we don't think of them often as even real people. Rather, the power that is for us tonight is not a power that's even in the books that we just read, as great as those stories are. God's power tonight is living and active and present here. It began at our fire, that powerful symbol dispelling the darkness. It burns still in our candle tonight as a sign of God's power present right here. We are thirsty. We are here because we thirst. We want more. We have felt God's power drawing us here, and we want it. We want more. Tonight we witness and commemorate the most powerful event in the history of the world, the power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. That is why we are here. That is the power that has motivated us on a night when everyone else is asleep right now, that we are here because we want to be near this power. There is something that draws us. How do we witness to this? What is the proof that Jesus is raised from the dead? We want proof, many people say. I saw the movie recently, the Case for Christ, the book that was written many years ago that has been made into a movie now. And there's lots of tangible evidence for the resurrection. And you can point to all kinds of things and testimony. And Lee Strobel, who wrote this book, did a wonderful job. And the movie is great about showing why it is credible for us to believe in the resurrection. But I tell you, as much as we can line up the evidence, the real witness to the power of God, I encountered one night when I was actually in Jerusalem, in the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, and I spent the night locked inside, and I spent a vigil, much like our vigil tonight, praying inside the actual tomb of Jesus. I spent a couple of hours on Calvary, and then I came down and I spent an hour or so praying in the tomb, right where the body of Jesus lay. I was looking for something amazingly powerful to happen to me. Indeed, there are powerful signs around the tomb of Jesus. We know that just this last year, they just finished renovating this tomb structure that exists today around Jesus' tomb. And they found that when they removed the cover over the stone where his body was, that inexplicably there is some kind of a radiation, a power that is measurable, that was coming from the tomb. That's certainly evidence that there is power in the tomb of Jesus. But I tell you, the thing that I found most powerful about being in the actual tomb of Jesus was when I knelt down and just laid my face on the stone where Jesus' body had rested. And there, when you're at that level, I saw on the bottom of an icon an engraving that simply said, "He is not here. He has been raised, as he said." As I read that, "He is not here." And it hit me that as I was praying in the tomb, that there's nothing in this tomb. The ultimate power of the tomb of Jesus is that it is empty. There is nothing in it. "He is not here," it said. "See the place where they laid him." And literally, I had my face on the place where they laid him and realized he is not here. He has been raised. If you want evidence for the resurrection, it is this empty tomb. Our faith is based on something that is not there. There is no body of Jesus. No one has ever claimed to have the body of Jesus. We have the testimony from the women who were there on that day. The tomb was empty and they met Jesus alive on the way. That's power. The power that is able to raise Jesus from the dead. That is the witness. But I tell you, tonight we have something almost as powerful. Because this power that raised Jesus, we might also think that perhaps it is to the past. Perhaps it is something we read in the gospel tonight and that's it. But rather, we have before us tonight our brothers and sisters, or soon to be brothers and sisters in baptism, who have caught this power. They have felt the power of Jesus, his resurrection, and they've said, "We want that." Six of them are here desiring baptism, to be washed. We have four more that already baptized have been drawn to the power that they see in the Catholic Church, and they want more of Jesus. We don't leave anything behind to become Catholic when we come from other Christian communities. Tonight we give thanks for those communities that first gave the gift of baptism and faith. But tonight we see that many of our brothers and sisters now desire to join us to have the fullness of that power through the gift of the sacraments of confirmation, the Eucharist. Ultimately, the best witness we have to the power of Jesus is not even the empty tomb. Lots of people can go see the empty tomb today and see that it's empty. But the biggest witness to God's power, the most effective sign we have today, are these people who will stand before us tonight and say, "I'm willing to change my life to conform to this power. This power has moved my life so much, I will leave sometimes the comfort of family and friends who do not like the fact that I'm becoming Catholic. I will risk the ostracization of my friends who don't like that I'm getting baptized, that I'm giving my life to Christ." We witness in these men and women people who will say, "My life has to be different because of this power." Now that's witness. It's not just an empty tomb. It's not stories in a book. It is living people right before us. And I know that so many of you out here are converts to the faith. And for you, tonight, spiritually, is in fact a beautiful anniversary for you. An anniversary of the night when you gave your life over to the power of Jesus and said, "Yes, I do. I do believe." Tonight, we are here gathered in that power, represented by this flame that now burns here and will soon fill the church again as we renew our promises of baptism. Tonight, I pray that that faith for all of you is not something dead in a book, not something that we read about or hear about way over in the Holy Land, but that as surely as the apostles encountered Jesus after he was raised from the dead, we too must be able to say with them, "I have seen the Lord." Because the powerful witness to Jesus is you and me going out tonight, tomorrow, with joy on our faces and every day saying, "I have seen the Lord. He is risen indeed, and I am the witness. I am the power. I will testify." If we do this, we will fill the rest of our pews in our church. We will have to get more space to fill our church because so many people will want this power. That is what Isaiah tells us about the thirst. Lots of people have this thirst and they need the power. Who will give it to them? It has to be us. That's why we're here tonight. In the middle of the night that just looks dark, it's bright for us because we have the power. Let's give thanks tonight. Jesus Christ is raised from the dead. In the greeting of the early church, it's not go out and say Happy Easter, but rather the greeting of the Christians was to say to one, "The Lord is risen." And the response from your brother is, "He is risen indeed. The Lord is risen. He is risen indeed." That is what brings us here tonight. That is the power that we profess. And now we have the great privilege to witness our brothers and sisters stand before us and ask for the sacraments of the church. They're willing to stand up and give their witness to change their lives. What about the rest of us? Tonight is the beginning. Tonight we receive once again the power. What will the rest of our days look like? I pray that you may go out and do what the apostles did, to tell everyone about it, to say indeed, the Lord is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia.